Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I took Lucian, like I said, on a tour, and I began to tell him of our country. I told him about the Spanish Moss. I told him about how Louisiana was owned by the French, and about the Spanish a little bit, and etc. And I took him to Lakeview, and I took him to the river, the lakefront, through Lakeview, and we saw the different houses that had been destroyed. And then we took him to the places that aren't as nice. I took him, if I was on Rampart or something, and I said, "This looks nice." And then we went one block off, and he's like, "Oh man, look at this. This is terrible." And then we spent some time in the French Quarter. And as it turned out, that evening, he preached at Vucare Assembly. I don't know if you remember Pastor Greg, who passed away, and Brother Paul is there now. And he told his story in that church and the two other churches that passed that Sunday. And then on the Wednesday, I took him to another place to preach. It was actually, there were four or five Haitian congregations here in town. This little Baptist church here in the corner by Chevron used to rent their fellowship hall or something to one of the preachers that I'm associated with. He now has a church. I took him there. And he preached to those people and again told the story. And as many of you know, that he deals a lot with orphans. He started out as an evangelist as a kid, and God laid it upon his heart to take in people, little kids that did not have a mother or a father. And you think a lot of times orphans, well, that's because the parents are dead. And that's true. But also I'm finding that a lot of times the parents just can't afford to eat themselves. And they care for their kids, so they essentially, kind of like a boarding house or kind of thing, they treat it in that fashion. And he takes them into his place. And I'd like to say that he is a very humble man. You knew that. When I'm in America, and I'm hungry, and I'm going down the road, McDonald's, I'm not stopping there. I forget I'm a Burger King. I want a nice plate of food. At my house, we don't have steak that often, but I don't eat simple food. I try to eat good food. But where he lives in the orphanage. It's a big compound. It's two or three buildings. And in the morning, they essentially feed the kids something that looks like maybe oatmeal or grits or something. It's not quite the same thing that we have, but it's similar. And that's what the kids eat. And that's what the cook eats. And the errand guy that he employs. And that's what the pastor eats in the morning. I would put this in front of you and you would say, "I ain't eating that." But he eats it practically every day. And there are some days that they don't have any food at all. Because it takes a lot of money to feed 70 odd people a day. Even the simple food that they have, sometimes they don't have anything at all. And the kids go hungry all day. But he says that they spend about an hour and a half every day praying for you in harvest time and Lafitte and the places in Florida and in New York, all the churches that support him. They're praying for those churches and the people sitting in the pews that God would help you. When he told me that, I was very blessed. But you guys have been supporting him for a number of years, and I want to tell you, your money has not been wasted. It has not been wasted. I preached in one of his churches, and I was amazed. The people began to sing. There was some little cheap keyboard, and the people began to sing. Amazingly, they sang some of the old Pentecostal tunes that we know in French. And that surprised me. But just looking at the people, you knew that these people, they had been with Jesus. You just could tell. And they began to sing and praise God, and the sweet presence of the Lord was there. Again, I've been a lot of different places, and his churches impressed me. They really did. But if you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And we're not going to stay there very long. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to stop there and say that many times people think Revelation, it's talking about the tribulation and the Antichrist and the seventh seal and this and that, and it does. The title of the book is the Revelation. And verse 1 says the revelation of not the Antichrist, but of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to stand behind this sacred desk. It's a privilege to pray in the name of Jesus. It's a privilege that we can say that, as Jesus taught us to pray, Abba Father, our Father who art in heaven. It's a privilege. We don't deserve anything. As David said, we're not worthy of the least of thy mercies. But graciously, Father, you sent your Son to die for us. And because of him, we can stand justified. Because of him, we can come to your house today. We don't deserve this. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, bless the word as it's preached. Bless the people to hear. And Lord, we look for your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. You know this story. You know that John was on the Spirit in the Lord's day. He was on the Isle of Patmos, the prison island. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and an angel came to him and then said this and that. And then he said in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice of him that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You know this description. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, if they had been burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. You know that this description, and it goes on a little bit, is a description of Jesus Christ. A description, as John saw, what Jesus looked like. We know that Jesus, when he was here on the earth, looked like an average Jew. And I'd like to say to you and those listening by radio, God loves Jews. Yes. And if your church or your denomination hates them, you have a problem. God is coming back to care for the Jews. The church is a parenthesis, an afterthought. Salvation's to the Jew first, and then us worthless Gentiles. Yes, thank you, Lord. God loves the Jews. Amen. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, describing what Christ looked like. Again, on the earth, he was an average Jew. But here we see him glorified. And there's a lot of symbolism. The Old Testament, I've been preaching, if you've heard on the radio, for a long time I've been in the book of Exodus. I've just finished up chapter 24. When I get to it, which may not be right away, I'm going to go to chapter 25 to the end, which talks about the tabernacle of Moses. The house of God. We say that the church is the house of God, but he erected his temple. All of it has to do with Jesus. This is the Old Testament. These are things we don't understand, a brazen altar or something. We don't understand these things, but they symbolize and foreshadow Jesus Christ. But here in Revelation, we see him glorified. We see him magnified and exalted. When he closed out the book of Matthew, he said, "All power is given in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples." That's what Brother Lucian is doing. That's what we should be doing here in our city. If you would please turn with me to the book of Daniel. And if you've listened to me on the radio, you know that I go verse by verse and point by point and kill it to death, I suppose. This book is so full, so rich. I literally, if I began to teach it on the radio, it would take me almost a year to do so. There's no way I can begin to scratch the surface. But there's a few things that I want to look at. You can look at verse 1. God called Daniel and the three Hebrew children. But in chapter 2, verse 1, "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him." And you know this story. He called for the magicians, the sorcerers, the astrologers, and really, what we find today as astrology is really rehashed what you find in the Bible. These false prophets, soothsayers, whatever. And as you read this book, you find it demonstrated that they tried to understand hidden things in dreams and foretell the future, but they could not. They could not. God is the one that knows the future. God is the one that knows the truth, and his true ministers will tell you the truth. Someone speaking something else is not from God. I've taught extensively on the 3 years I've been in radio. For instance, when I took a detour and went through John chapter 14, 15, and 16, it says that the Spirit will glorify Christ. Not a man, not a church, not a denomination, but Christ. And he leads us in the way of humility. That I might decrease, that Christ might increase. Peter. At one point, Peter led the church. And at one point, James led the church and what have you. But Peter, when he was crucified, and if I begin to cry, I'm sorry, but when Peter was crucified, he said, "I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Put me upside down, my feet up and my head down." And they did. And he said, "I'm not worthy to suffer for his name." But through the Bible, you will find that suffering is something we must do. But it's the way of the cross. "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. And if they speak not according to this book, it's because there's no light in them." Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. You can know a true minister of the gospel. Don't play any games. You can know. Don't make excuses. You can know a true minister of the gospel by what he preaches and the spirit in which he comes. If he hooks his thumbs and says, "Look at me, I'm an apostle," he ain't. He ain't an apostle. Paul was. He said, "They've reserved us last in an offscouring." Nobody wants us, Paul said. And that's the way that God set up. But Daniel, the king had a dream he didn't understand. He's called in the soothsayers and they didn't understand. And they were going to make some kind of monkey shines and excuse and whatever and sleight of hand. But he says, "If you can't tell me what the dream was in the first place, I'll kill all of you." But Daniel said, "Let me get my three friends and let's have a prayer meeting." And God began to reveal the dream first off. And then the interpretation. And if you turn don't, but if you turn to the next chapter, you find that Nebuchadnezzar made a statue that represented or copied what he had seen in the dream and said, "Bow down to it or we'll throw you in the furnace." Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he will grind every kingdom and every prince and king and effort of man to powder. God wins. As the song says, I read the back of the book and we win. Hallelujah. We win. We win. So Daniel in Revelation, they go together. And again, many will try to say, well, what happens at the third vial or the seventh? That's fine. We can study all of that. We can get in as much detail as we possibly want. And all of those things are useful. Yeah, the book of Revelation says if you read it, just reading it and trying to understand, you'll be blessed. And we could take the time to do that, I guess. But the point is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Let me see if I can find the chapter. I didn't take any notes. I take very few notes. And in a Bible as scribbled as this, it's hard to find where you're at. If you look in chapter 7, that's one of the dreams or visions that he had about the beasts, whatever. But there's something I'm looking for. Let me see if I can find it. Well, here you go. This is not exactly the place I was looking for. There's a couple of things in here that deal with it. But if you look in Daniel chapter 9, you find in verse 24, Daniel is speaking about a number of things, but then he begins to talk about what happens to the Jews. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he goes on and says, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and etc. But he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. He's not saying, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for the Antichrist. Although verse 27, where I left off, does talk about the Antichrist. But he says that it's to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. And we've been shouting about the fact that our sins are gone. To make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. We're reconciled to God. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. You see that stone that hit that image in chapter 2, and it crumbled down on top of the stone, and it was turned into powder, and the wind came and blew that powder away, and the stone increased in size and filled the whole earth. That's a prophecy of Jesus Christ, and he will rule the earth. But the focus isn't on the bad guys. The focus is on Christ. In Daniel chapter 2, we see the second coming. But in this chapter here, chapter 9, the verses I've read, they talk about the second coming eventually, but they talk about the first coming. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. In the Old Testament you find the phrase cut off or cut off out of the land of the living, and it means to die. Cut off means to die. So after 62 weeks, whatever that means, and we can talk about that. Shall Messiah be cut off or die, but not for himself? Jesus died, but he didn't die for himself. He died for you and me. He died for you and me. Thank God. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say the first coming or the second coming, although Revelation mainly talks about the second. But Christ is one. Christ has a mission to redeem man. It took two trips to do it. The first time in humility to die for us. The second time to come as a king and not bow to anyone. So we see, again, that all of these prophetic writings, and we can chase a number of rabbits. I can take you to Isaiah, I can take you to Ezekiel, we can go all over the Old Testament. But prophecy, and again, it's helpful to study about the Antichrist and the little horn and the ram, and we can study all those things. And we can get bogged down in them. But again, the point is Jesus Christ. The first coming, which we're talking about here. The second coming. But he's Lord. From the beginning to the end, he's Lord. Hallelujah. Bless God. Thank God. Worship him. Hallelujah. Pastor, I don't know how you work things here, but I'm going to give an invitation. If God has touched your heart, I imagine everyone here is saved. If God has touched your heart and you want more of God, invitation is very simple. Come stand or sit or kneel, whatever you want to do, but seek the Lord and ask him, Lord, you touched my heart. I want to surrender. So please do that. Jesus, Lord to me. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.